Welcome back to Mastering Your Money. I'm Ed Fulbright, CPA PFS, and we've been discussing getting a job with Dana Mantiagli. Now, she's the author of Cut the Crap, Get a Job, New Search Process for a New Era. And, you know, keywords are really important. I just left Microsoft to write this book, but she said some of the secrets that people don't realize is that they're using keywords to identify what's going on in the application tracking system. So, one of the things that I just thought of that, and there's a couple of other things that I want to follow up with Dana on. Dana, I want to bring you back in here. We talk about these keywords. So how does a person figure out what the keywords are, or should they just read the ad and make sure certain words are in their application or in their resume?
Yeah, it's really a lot simpler than it sounds.
Okay.
There's not a lot of mystery behind keywords. It is studying the job description, like you said. And most candidates don't sit with that for 30 minutes and dissect it. And your words are in there. So let's take an example. If a company is looking for a sales rep to do new business prospecting, then don't use biz dev, business development, in your resume or application. Use their words, which is new business prospecting. So they're giving you the clues as to the language they speak.
I got
speak
you.
Their language.
Okay. So then that's why you need the word processor, so that you can do a replace on the words that you might use in the general, and then you save it, and then you upload it to wherever their site is.
You can. There's a lot of risk with doing that, and I have made many mistakes in trying the search and replace.
Okay.
I just go through, at best, is to just go through your resume and make the appropriate edits, because there will be multiple.
Okay.
And just make those carefully and strategically.
Okay. Yeah, that's true, because sometimes you just miss a space. There can be all types of things, or, you know, even if you have a template, if you miss it, you're really trying to play with your livelihood and or your opportunity to move on or get out of the jam that you're in and make some big changes. So that makes a lot of sense. And then you talked about the three big things being the clock, the pen and paper, and access to the internet or having computing power. And I wanted to come back and revisit this pen and paper, which really sounds fairly simple, but it gives people, or what I understand that you're talking about, is that it gives people, or people that might hire you, that you're really interested in getting a job. And I've never seen anybody say, I'm not interested in getting a job. But if you come there, you're prepared, you've read up on the company, you can talk details, and you have energy about you, I think you stand a much better chance of getting a job. Is that a correct assumption?
Absolutely. Attitude, energy, show passion, even if you need to fake it, if you will, and dial up your energy level if you're down that day. You need to show the hiring manager or the recruiter or on the phone that that's the job you want. You need to hear it, see it. And the pen and paper is courtesy. And I have heard of hiring managers that have escorted candidates out the door because they came in empty-handed.
Oh, wow.
Grab a folio, grab a file folder, pop in extra resumes, blank paper, a pen, bring in your notes, show them your research that you've done on their company, but come on in prepared.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense that, you know, if you were prepared to get a car, and you can save, you do internet research or whatever the research is, you bring a folder or you bring a nice portfolio with paper in it, and you just use a pen and write. So that makes a lot of sense. So what are some other top job search mistakes that people are making, and how do you avoid them?
Oh, and it's so tragic that there are so many mistakes, even though finding a job is so critical to millions.
Sure.
And we've talked about a few, but I'll highlight the top two that really make a negative impact on the hiring manager. These are things you want to avoid, and all of them are basic. So So many folks right now are saying, oh, come on, but they happen over and over again. And the first one is typos, grammatical errors, misspells. Remember, everything you write, job seekers, is a sample of how you'll write on the job. So when we hiring managers, receive something with grammatical errors, and this is your most important day, then it only gets worse. The second biggest mistake is being unprepared for a phone or face-to-face interview. Candidates are either late, they haven't researched the company, or they didn't read the job description in detail. And oh, they wow. fumble on the most basic interview questions. And if I ask you, what are your top strengths, what are your top weaknesses, you should be able to punch those in three easy statements
yep.
and stop. But
yep.
most candidates can't answer those, wow. as an example.
If you can't answer those questions, you're not going to get very far.
Well, many people think they can, and they'll wing it in the interview. And therein lies the problem, because you're nervous.
Right.
And you'll ramble on and on, so it's not concise, and you don't come across confident. So it's not that people don't know them,
but they haven't
written them down and rehearsed them in front of a mirror. That's preparation.
And, you know, you said something else, that people aren't ready for the phone call. Some people, especially the older job searchers, the real thing that I would suggest is that they try to do some job search interviews with their friends so that they can prepare for this because, you know, they're now using Skype or some other type of visual way that you can be visually seen. And that's a lot different than you going in for a physical interview so that you can get comfortable with that idea.
Absolutely. And face-to-face interviews are only now saved, in general, for the last step.
Yes.
Phone interviews are on the rise. So first of all, just on phone interviews, you need to get great at them. And it's hard because there's no nonverbal. They can't see you. However, you can cheat. You can have notes in front of you, and you can stand up, you can smile. They will feel your presence over the phone.
Sure.
If they say Skype, you need to dress waist up, in, like the newscasters, dress nicely in case they turn on that video.
Sure.
So those are the trends of the latest job search now, is to be prepared for the new technology used to interview.
And is the suit and tie really necessary? Like if they were doing a Skype interview, I've heard different things. Like people say, well, if it's technology, they're casual. They want you to wear, you know, business casual. I've heard other people say that you should wear whatever your best, even if you're doing it over Skype. If they take a look at you, they'll be able to look at you and, you know, tell what's going on.
I have, in my 30 years of hiring, I have never heard another hiring manager say, wow, I'm not hiring that candidate because they were too well-dressed. The answer is suit and tie on Skype and just as if you were face-to-face. There is no difference. As
I
a matter of fact, watch what's behind you in Skype as well. The unmade bed, you know, who knows? So try to make your Skype experience representative of a good environment. Quiet,
sure.
Put the dogs outside, you know, put a sign on your door. You need to set up and prepare. This is back to preparation. Prepare for your best Skype experience and phone experience.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Can you tell us what the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice is that I've received and I now use and evangelize is to solve the hiring manager's problems. In other words, it's not about you, job seekers. Pivot everything you write, you say, and you do in the form of you and yours, you the hiring manager, you the new company, and try to delete I, me, and my. So stop. In other words, some examples are, I'm looking for a job that leverages my background in finance and working with great people. No, this isn't about you. Mr. Hiring Manager, I really want your job at XYZ Company because you need someone who can deliver fast and reliable service. That's
okay.
Me.
All right.
See the difference.
Big difference. Big difference.
Big.
Okay. You talked a lot about college career centers not preparing people for key job hunting skills. How are students supposed to find these skills?
You know, Ed, when I give seminars at colleges and universities, I do a show of hands, and only about 10% of students even use the resources at their campus career center. That's very sad. Now, some career centers do a great job, but the majority just don't have resources to stay current,
yes,
to bring in outside speakers, or they're not staffed to help more than just review resumes. So the good news is that not only students, but alumni and the community can find so much free information right online.
All right.
So I have a resources page right on my website at danamanciagli.com that organizes many of them. But just type things like top interview questions.
Okay.
And you will have great insights.
In closing, what do you want our listeners to remember?
Three things, Ed. Quickly. First, there are jobs out there, and there is a hiring manager looking for you right now. So go find 10 opportunities today and get them all in motion. Second, you have to avoid mistakes and stand out from the others in a good way. And finally, make your job search your most important job, not a hobby. Stop using yellow sticky notes and applying for a few jobs online when you get a chance. Get on a program and be relentlessly focused. You will see the results.
All right. I'd like to thank Dana Manciagli for her time and information. And for more information on Dana Manciagli, you can visit her website, www.danamanciagli.com. For our listeners, our discussion today can be summarized into four thoughts. One, take responsibility for where you are at the moment because your best thoughts have gotten you to where you are. Two, you must be willing to change to get different results in your life. Three, create a great vision for yourself and become persistent in your pursuit of this vision. Don't let the first roadblock stop your vision. Fourth and finally, create your own happiness. Life is too short to not live it being happy. Remember, your money and your life are terrible things to waste. I would like to thank our tech director, Alshadre Dawson, for making the show possible. I would also like to thank Willie Jolly for our theme music. Mastering Your Money is recorded in the studio of WNCU, licensed to North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. You're hearing this valuable information on a listener-supported radio station. Please support this station with your charitable giving. Thank you in advance for sharing your treasure. This is Ed Fulbright, CPA, PFS, signing off until our next exciting show to help you turbocharge your drive on the Financial Freedom Highway. Thank you for tuning in and join us next time.